Hi, my name's Angie, and I'm an alcoholic.
Angie.
I'm always so excited when somebody asks me to speak or be of service, and then when I get here and I see all of you, I'm like, why did I say yes? So I just have 10 minutes, so I'll try to make it fast, but I'm sure my story is a lot like a lot of yours, or maybe not, but I was born into an alcoholic family. And my mother drank and did drugs while she was pregnant with me. And so I was born addicted. And I went home to the same situation. And as a pretty much baby, my mom put alcohol in my bottle to quiet me or put me to sleep so that, you know, she could do what she did. And then as a young child, like a young girl, I remember most people in their bedroom, on their dresser, they have their stuffed animals and Barbie dolls and pictures. And on my dresser in my room was miniature alcohol bottles. Because when my mom or her friends went to the liquor store, I got to get a bottle too. And I always chose Kahlua because when my mom drank it with milk, it tasted like chocolate milk. So that's the one I always chose. But and I drank that then just because everybody in my house was, and that's why I did it. And then, you know, I started to get a little older, and as a young teenager, I started to drink for a different reason. I started to take my mom's alcohol or my stepmom's at night with my friends, and we would sneak it or we would take it on the bus to school. And I found that my reasons for drinking then was a whole lot different. It gave me courage. It made me feel a part of. It made me feel like I was pretty and I mattered and people wanted me around. All the stuff that I didn't feel at all when I drank. And I continued to drink like that for a while. And I always tell people, like, my story isn't that I started drinking because something bad or drastic or horrible happened in my life. It was just what was in my household and what I knew. Of course, after years of drinking, and my story does include drug use, things start to happen after year drinking. And bad things start to happen, and I started to find that it was easier to do things that I said I would never do. Oh, I'm not going to do that. And then I would do that. And then I would justify or drink more. And then it was okay. And every moral that I was somewhat raised with seemed to be getting farther and farther away from me. And I'm sure you guys know all the stuff that happens when you drink. And then I started to find that my reasons for drinking changed. Again, you know, I drank to be the life of the party and to feel alive and to be a part of. And now I was drinking alone and to forget and to not feel. And I continued to do that for years and years. And I just didn't know any better. Like, I really just, I had no goals. I had no, it was a way I protected myself. And I started going to jail and more often, and staying in longer, and staying out less time. And I remember, like, my crazy way of safeguarding myself. The girls would come in, and they would start crying, like, oh, I lost this, and I lost that. And I would be like, that's why I don't keep nothing, you know? like, that's crazy, you know? But it was a way that I protected myself, you know? You know, I did that for a really long time, and this last time when I was in prison, I don't like to say that I hit my bottom, because for me, when I hit my bottoms, I drink more, because I'm so depressed. But I heard in a meeting one time that somebody said, you hit your bottom when you put the shovel down, and I think that I was just so tired that I just didn't want to dig anymore, and I believe that I had a spiritual awakening one night in my cell, and I used to think that God finally spoke to me, But I think that he had been trying to speak to me for a really long time. I just wasn't stopping the drinking to hear it or to be open. And all he told me was that I didn't have to live like this anymore. And for the first time, like, I felt this love and this overwhelming feeling that I have been searching for my whole life with alcohol or men or shopping or, you know, anything. And but I didn't know what to do. You know, I just knew that I didn't have to drink anymore. So when I got out of prison, I knew enough to not do what I always do. So I went to a 12-step program. And there, like the gentleman said, introduced me to AA. And 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, we had to read the AA book in this program. And it was crazy because I could, when I was reading or one of the other girls were reading, it was like I heard my story. Like everything that I was reading in different parts was me or stuff that I had been through. And it just felt so good to not feel alone, you know. And I did the program and I got out and then I had to learn how to live. And so I came to AA and I don't know about you guys, but I need to have people in my life. I need to have you guys in my life, and my thinking is completely off, and I don't come to meetings anymore because I have to. I come because I want to, and because I still think crazy. And so when I came here, I got a sponsor, and I did the steps, and I had already found God, you know what I mean? But I didn't know anything else, and the steps, like, I get so excited when I want to tell my sponsees or people I know, because I can only explain it in, like, I felt free after I did them. It was like, okay, I did this, and now I see that it's not everybody else's fault, and I see that I have a part, and I know that I didn't know better in some instances, and I was able to make amends in some others, but the biggest thing was I was able to forgive myself. And able to do that, like, this weight is just, yeah, I did that. But not what I am today. It's like so cool to be able to say that and to actually feel that, you know. And I've worked the steps a couple times since then, and I've gotten another sponsor. And my sponsor now loves to tell me when I call her with some craziness that's happened in her life, well, did you work a 4-step? So I'm always working a 4-step. But you know what? It's not that bad, you know. And today I have 6.5 years clean and sober. And I have these fabulous things in my life. You know, I have a really great job, and I have some really good friendships and some really good relationships. Do I have everything back? No, I don't. And I make sure that I share that with people because there are consequences to our actions. You know, I lost my daughter. I gave her up for adoption, you know, because they wanted me to stop drinking. And I said, I can't do that. I'll never get her back. I am blessed to be able to have a relationship with her today. You know, I have family members that don't believe me. They don't want to talk to me. And you know what? I can't be mad at that because I did do some horrible things, you know. And I have, like, so much. The most thing I have is my relationship with God and a feeling of self-worth. For a drinker like me, I wasn't allowed in towards the end. Well, really not towards the end, probably in the middle, to keep it honest. I wasn't allowed in anybody's house. I definitely wasn't allowed to use the bathroom, and I couldn't smoke anywhere. You know what I mean? And nobody wanted me around. You know, nobody accepted my letters when I got locked up anymore, and people just wrote me off to be dead. And you know what? Today people call me when they need help. Today people call me when they have somebody that's in need of help. And somebody asked me to speak to all of you, and nobody used to talk to me, you know? And I just think that's fabulous. So thank you so much.